Good morning. I am going to try to not even look at this, which scares many of you, I know. I mean, the first thing someone said to me, oh, you're preaching today? I was like, yeah, it's going to be a long one. Man, I'm sorry about that. Sorry, you know. I have a lot to say. Unfortunately, it goes a lot of directions before I get there, but I do... I'm going to try to keep it very short today if I can. I love Christmas. I don't know how you guys feel about Christmas. It is interesting when we talk about Christmas and perspectives of Christmas and difficulty of Christmas for many people. It's the highest time of suicide, and in my mind, I can't even imagine that, you know. But this year was a little bit different for us. We've been going back to Missouri because every year we think it's the last year we have the opportunity to be with my father-in-law, my wife's mom and dad, and because they're in their 90s, or she's 88 and he's 92, and their health has been failing for a long time. They're really strong. They're going to live to be 120, I think, Kenda. So, but we go there to be able to spend time with them as family, and you know, and for me. Christmas has always been a very celebrative time. I love Christmas. You know, as a child growing up in my upbringing, in my household, you know, we didn't get a lot of gifts, didn't have much money. There's a lot of us. It was just, so when Christmas came, even if it was small, the concept and idea of getting gifts were huge. So I've always had this joy for me about Christmas, and when the lights start coming up, I love the music, I love everything about it. But this was kind of a reminder for me that it is hard, because this year when we went to Missouri, my wife's father, he fell and broke some ribs, and so they have to put him in a home, a rehab center with slash nursing home, and which made Christmas very different for us as a family. Going to see him an hour drive each way, or 45 minutes or so, and, you know, then spending a few hours with him every day and coming home. So almost half of our day, which made our Christmas very different, I guess is what I'm saying. And, you know, it just reminds me, just as we listened to that song, that God has a plan, and he's in control, and even though life is crazy and celebrations, you know, pastor said that they've had a tough year, and for many of you, this has been a tough year. For some of you, that tough year has already begun transition into some really positive things, right? I'm Lynn and Bill back there. Bill has been out of his wheelchair for just for major periods of time, and just minor times in the wheelchair, and I don't think any of us expected that through this, you know. And so there's some very positive, but other people are still in the midst of hard things and difficulties and whatnot. So for me, it's always an interesting thing when I run into people who talk about Christmas as being a hard time, because that is hard for me to get my head around, because we, in theory, ought to be so joyful and happy that this baby came, right? Right? We put so much emphasis on the Christmas day and the holiday part of it that amidst that, we even recognize it's about baby Jesus. And we get the manger, we have it out there, I think, with baby Jesus and Joseph and Mary. And the story is cool. All by itself, the story is so incredible, right? For a woman to be conceived of the Holy Spirit and not of man, to be a virgin, the whole thing of being just like all the prophets in Isaiah and even beyond that foretold, and being in Bethlehem and how they're in Nazareth and have to end up in Beth. All of the story part of this is incredible. The kings that traveled, the wise men with the gifts, all as foretold, all of the story itself is incredible. So we have this big culminating day of Christmas as a day, and we look at this baby in a manger and we worship. Hopefully that's what happens, is we worship, because that's what our Christmas Eve service is about. That's what Pastor was talking about. What was awesome about it wasn't how perfect everything went off, and I wasn't here. But I heard all the way when I was in Missouri from others saying how awesome the service was. It was neat. It was just an awesome presence, God's presence, and there was worship. And we bow before the baby. We bow and worship before the King, right? See, Jesus came for a purpose. It wasn't just so that we could have this celebration. See, God knew he needed to do something, right? We were separated. Because of sin, we are separated from God. There's a separation. And I have no idea what was going through God's head, but God had to make a plan that was different than what he'd originally intended because of our sin and separation from him. So his plan was this baby. Baby Jesus is his plan. And my wife's family lives in rural northeast Missouri, up near Hannibal, in a town that's smaller than 1,000 people. So I got up, I was excited to go to church, and I got up and I went to church, and this town has less than 1,000, so obviously the church wasn't big. I told Pastor, it was a little country Baptist church, and it was just so cool. I had so much fun. I mean, I got to just melt into the crowd. It was funny. I kind of told some people, you know, not one person even said hello to me the whole time. You know, one of those, you know, hey, what are you doing in our church? Get out of here. You know, I didn't feel that, but I was like, not even a hello from anybody. So anyway, but it was just this little where everybody knows everybody. You know, I watched the pastor go from person to person to person, and you could tell by his expression that he knew them. They were friends for a long time, and it was just interesting. So anyway, I don't know why I told you that. There was no reason for that. I love that church. Let's go back to that. It was an awesome service for me to go there. And anyway, what was really cool for me is the diversity in age. The guy who gave the the welcome part was probably 17, 18 years old. He did such a good job. And then it came time for the worship, and they escorted this man who, he had to be in his 80s, maybe more, and he was completely blind. And it was just cool. He came and he led the worship, but yet this is old country. Then they had a band, and you couldn't hear the band because they're so used to piano and organ. It was just blaring through. But there was a band there, and they were playing because I saw them moving. And it was just really cool. And then this guy, when they got done, he got the elderly man who was leading worship was sitting there, and he came and he escorted him to the piano, and he started playing the piano. And this guy, and I kid you not, it looked like he came straight off the farm. He didn't dress up from church. He probably was straight off the farm, and he'd been working, and he came up, and he started singing. It floored me. It was not just incredible. It was anointed. It was life-giving. You know, sometimes, kind of like what Shirley did, it wasn't just well done. It was life-giving. You know what I mean? And he sang a song, and it made me go back later and listen to the song. And what I did is I actually sent it to Chris last night. So, Chris, I love you, man. We always drop these things on Chris at 10 o'clock at night. You know, hey, Chris, any chance you could put? And I sent him the video. I found this video, and it's an old song, it's got just the right message that we need here. So I want us to just play that. If Morgan, you can do that. We hit the lights and we could, it's called What a Strange Way to Save the World. Of all the plans that I could have came up with to save humanity, that probably would have been the last way I would have thought of. And sometimes we get into Christmas time and we see this baby, and we recognize that it's God's son, or at least we say the words that it's God's son. But in reality, do we understand that it's not just God's son, but it is also God? I think sometimes, sorry, I'm ringing a little bit. I'm actually running sound at the same time here. That it is not just God's son, but this is God in the form of man. And it's not just a baby boy. This is God himself who has come to live with us, to teach us, to be an example for us, to walk with us, how we ought to live, how we ought to treat each other, how we ought to worship the Father. See, his example for us was far more, and his life was far more than just going to the cross for us. He came to teach us and show us what it means to be committed, to be faithful, to be passionate, to serve, to love. All these things he came to do. He came as not just a baby boy, not just God, but he came as king. I think we go about our world like we don't serve anyone but ourselves, right? I want to read out of Philippians, and this chunk of scripture always means a lot to me. It's Philippians 2, and I know that when we get to verse 8, that's what I gave them to put up, but I want to start at the beginning, because I feel like when we get into a chunk of scripture, it makes more sense when we read the whole thing. Let's start with Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Sorry, I've had this cough for a long time. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus did, who, being in the very nature God, see, it's reminding us he wasn't just a man, that this was God, and being in the very nature of God, did not consider himself equal with God, or did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. See, that's where we would probably, most of us, fail right there. Right? If we had the God card in our pocket, we'd probably pull it out all day long, every day, right? I would. My selfishness, I would use that card, I would be God. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Then in verse 8, oops, maybe I was already there, 8. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, the baby in a manger grows up. And that's what I liked about the video. It showed his life. It showed him not telling everybody what to do, but washing their feet. Man, that's so powerful. I remember when I was at Cornerstone years ago, we went through a book called Servant Leadership. And it was impactful for my life, because we tend to think that being a leader means being up here and telling everybody else what to do, right? That's what modern day culture will teach you in business and other things. You're the boss, stay in control, stay this, be the example and tell everybody what to do, and you lead that way. And Jesus' example for us was that he got on his knees and washed his servants or his disciples' feet. He loved them, he cared for them. See, God came to set an example by sending himself, part of him, Jesus, because once again, once you start talking about the Trinity of who God is, the Holy Spirit and baby Jesus, it's one. There's one God. There's one God. So this is God in the form of man coming down to be with us, to walk with us, to live with us, to be an example, to teach us all those things. But he is king. And he is in control. He is the king of the whole universe. He's the creator of all things. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's going through your heart. He knows your difficulties. He knows what you've been walking through and what you're going to walk through. He already knows this. He knows this and he loves you. You know what? He knows your failures you've done and what you're going to do, and he still loves you. He chose to walk this world with us, knowing all of that and paying the price for our failures and our sins. And he is the king of all. He is the Lord of lords, God's word says. And yet somehow he is by far secondary, third, or fourth, and sometimes even less than that in our lives, isn't he? It's funny, we're coming into time in New Year's. And I like New Year's. It's like Christmas. I think it's why I enjoy. I was coaching for many, many years before I got into ministry, and a lot of pastors burn out in ministry. They just do because it's never ending, right? It's just over and over, and people wear on you, and those kind of things. But people say, how do you not get burned out? Well, I think it's because of my days of coaching. In my days of coaching, I had a beginning and end, a season, and I got done with that, then I started this, and I started this. Well, it's the same thing. I love beginning and endings. And so for me, when New Year's comes around, it's an opportunity for me. It's a startup. I think that is so important for us to understand as Christians, that every day we get a new startup. A do-over. See, in the world, that doesn't really happen, does it? The consequences of our yesterday still linger on till today, doesn't it? And let's be honest here. Our consequences in our faith also carries over. But what does God's word say? That we're to start every day, hit the floor, and we should get to our knees and bow down and worship, regardless of how bad yesterday was. We get to start today with a choice. How we're going to live. See, and I love New Year's, and I think it's funny that we do all this New Year's resolution stuff, and I looked it up to see what some of the big ones are, but these are some of the resolutions that many of you will make, but a lot of the world make, and, you know, I think it's a good time to, hey, let's evaluate my life. Let's look back, not just of the last year, but my life as a whole. Where am I going, and what do I need to change? What needs to be done different, right? So here's some of them. I need to read more. This is not me. This is the ones I've read. I would never say read more. No, I'm just kidding. I read enough. What are some of the big ones is diet, right? I got to lose some weight, okay? Exercise. That's mine. I need to exercise more. I don't necessarily need to be lighter in weight. I just need to be healthier. I need to be in better shape. Read more. Yes, you know something? Even I need to read. I've got to read more than I do now. Save money, right? It's funny how liquid our money is. It comes in the paycheck and right out, right? It's just, hey, where does it go? I don't know. Maybe we need to evaluate our money. Enjoy life more. That was one of them. These are the top 10 that I read that we as a nation tend to do. Enjoy life more. More family time. See, most of us would think these are good, right? This is great. I think many of you need to spend more time with your family, right? That goes for me too. Be kinder. Hey, that's a biblical principle, isn't it? We need to love each other. We need to put others in front of ourselves, esteem others higher than ourselves. For some of us, get organized. Okay, if you walk into my office, you think I'm a disorganized mess. Believe it or not, I'm not as disorganized as my office looks. So if you look in my office, I'm really not that chaotic. Maybe I am. Stop a bad habit. For many of us, and actually I added this one. Travel was the other one. That's a big one that some people say, this year's going to be my year. I'm going to travel. I'm going to go do this. But I thought stop a bad habit, because if we're being honest, many of us have bad habits, don't we? Whether it be the language we use, the way we treat people around us, maybe it's a habit of smoking. I've dealt with others who've had to break chewing tobacco. Whatever that habit might be that you're deciding, I've had enough, I'm going to quit, whatever it is. This is a time people evaluate and look at their life, said maybe I need to change this. Maybe it's speeding. Maybe it's, I don't know. There's lots of things that we all do. But here's my point. I think those are all good. I think that it is a good time to evaluate your life and look at it. But I want you to know something. We treat that list the way we treat everything. And that is the same way we treat this manger. We look at a baby Jesus, and in our head, that's all we see. We're not seeing the King of Kings. We're not seeing, I am so grateful I didn't live in the ancient days of kings. I am so glad that I didn't have to physically lower my head and bow my head to walk into the presence of anybody. To me, that's unimaginable, unfathomable in my brain on how my mind works, that was part of life and culture. And you would die if you came boldly to the throne like Esther did in the Old Testament. So that she took a risk for her own life by coming boldly to the throne. But I can't imagine, because when you approach the king, there is a reverence and an understanding of the position of authority and power that they have. They have the power to make your life miserable, to end your life, to make your life great, all these things. So how you approach the throne makes it really important. And if you are a subject in a kingdom, that king's will always is first. It is not your will first, because if you choose your will over his will, guess what? You either are imprisoned or you are killed. And so we approach the baby Jesus in a manger like he lives in a manger his whole life. And the truth is, he becomes King of Kings, and he asks us to follow him. Now, praise God, he's not a king who we have to bow down and just be ashamed. And we might be ashamed of our actions and choices we're making, but he's not requiring us to be subject to him in a way that is degrading and potentially harmful through death, even though in the Old Testament he did that many times. He's not asking that of us. What he's asking us now is to worship him and give honor to him as the King of Kings. So as we look at our lives in the new year that's coming and the resolutions we're making for next year, have you considered what resolutions you need to do for your king, for your faith? I mean, we're really good about examining. Well, look, I've stepped on the scale. Good Lord, what happened? I'm 15 pounds heavier this year than last year. We're good at that. Oh, I guess I'm going to change this. I'm going to do this. But do you step back and evaluate your faith? How are you doing as being a subject in the kingdom of God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, who not only came as God and man, who came as a baby born of a virgin, but he lived a life as an example for us and died for us so that we could have hope, because of that separation is now crossed back. And because of the blood of Jesus, that sin is moved away and we can now stand before the throne. Do we see that the king needs to be honored and worshiped with our lives? Also, matter of fact, I don't want to use the word also. It needs to be our primary focus, right? So as we look at our New Year's resolutions, just take a minute right now and think about what you need to get right before God. Different than last year. Okay, maybe you're like me. You like trying new things. This year I remember there used to be a time where people would say, let's have church in the bars. Why? Well, because that's where the sinners are. But you know what? That was a great idea in principle, and it was such a flop. Why? Because they started drinking, they got drunk, they were a terrible example. Okay? That's not a good idea for most people. I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to the place where sinners are. That's where the sinners are. We're the sinners. We had to get our lives right with God, trust and follow him, but we need to go and reach and tell people about Jesus. So I get it. Great idea. Okay, that didn't work. So I tell you what, you know what I'm going to do every day? I'm going to get into my boat and I'm going to spend 2 hours with God on the lake. I may as well bring my fishing pole, you know? Next thing you know, what is your focus? Fishing, okay? So there's a lot of great ideas. So I'm not trying to tell you how you ought to live your life. What I'm telling you is you need to look at your spiritual faith, your spiritual life, and say, hey, is what I'm doing making me a better, stronger Christian? Or is this just a good idea that just isn't working for me? So I want to just read some things that I think we need to consider that maybe you ought to consider because I know I'm considering. Number one, maybe pray more. For some of us, guys, I'll tell you right now, and I've shared this with pastor and staff, my wife knows it, of all the principles of being a Christian, that's the hardest for me. You know why? Because I'm such a black and white guy. My wife can spend hours praying. And she has a list, and she goes through them. And if you gave me a list that was 100 things long, that may take me 10 minutes to read off to God. And I say, yep, God, take them. They're yours. I'd be done. You know, I'm terrible because of the way my mind works as black and white. And so I know that's a weakness in my life. So what do I need to do? I need to take time and pray more. Forget the list. How about go talk to God? Maybe some of you need to spend more time just talking and listening to God. Maybe God has a lot of things he needs to tell you and wants to tell you. You're so busy telling him your list that you're missing what he wants to tell you. And I'm not against the list. I think it's great. I think we, some of us need to pray more. Read more. Some of you guys, and I'm throwing myself, some of us just don't know God's word the way we should know it. You know, and I'm not saying just be able to pick and choose verses. Verses are important, verses are good, but understanding books of the Bible, understanding why it was written and to whom it was written for is important for us to know. So maybe some of us, we just don't, you know, I don't need to read the Bible. I come to church on Sunday. They read the Bible every Sunday. I get it. I read it there. This is where I read the Bible. No, some of us maybe as you evaluate your spiritual life, what you need to do is maybe spend a little bit of time reading God's word daily. At least start with, sit down today, open his word, read it. Biggest thing people find is that they don't know where to begin or what to do. I tell you what, one of the greatest things I ever did is I decided I would start at the beginning of the Bible, and this is within the last 10 years, is because I've read the Bible several times. I had college class that required me to read it and write about each book of the Bible and those things. So I've done the work of that kind of reading. But I sat down and read the book as a novel, as a reading, as let me just read it the way it was written and just read it in Genesis and the stories and the power. And now I get why the Old Testament's in there. It explains who God is, his omnipotence, his power, his omnipresence, everything. It's so powerful to understand who God is. And if you pick and choose and nitpick it, you can say, man, God's an awful person. But if you read the whole book, because I have friends who I talk to and they don't love God. They think his Bible is awful because it's all filled with hate. And I thought, man, you're not reading the whole thing. You're just pulling out lines here and there. Read the Bible. Read to get to know who God is. Powerful. Maybe you just need to trust God more. Maybe there is a circumstance that you're walking through, and the reason it's so hard this season and looking at your life is it's tough to trust God in hard things, okay? It's hard. It's easy to trust him with the minor things, but the big things are hard sometimes. Maybe your commitment this year needs to be that you're just going to obey him more. Maybe you're filled with all the knowledge you need. I get it. I know what to do. I just don't do it. Maybe that needs to be your resolution. My new startup, my fresh and new this year is what I'm going to do is I'm going to give my life more to God. And here's really tough. I'm going to go on a little side note here. And that's what somebody's talking about me talking so late, so long. Our efforts do count for things, but I'm going to be honest with you. God's presence in our life is far bigger than any effort you're ever going to do. Some people think they'll be a greater Christian by doing this, 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 and that'll make them a better Christian. These things help, guys. But if you really want to walk with God and know who he is, you're going to have to allow his presence to work in you, period. You're going to have to get to know him on an intimate level. Not just know what he says and do what he says. I know people who are so disciplined. They read God's word every day. They spend their 15 minutes of quiet time. They get up, they read God's word. They don't kick the dog. They're nice to their children. They go to work. They don't cuss. They don't do this. They don't, all these things. They spend that time prayer, and you know something? They don't even know God, not on an intimate level. God isn't moving and working in their life. God, there's no power like the presence that I, there are people I walk into that I know God is living and active in their life. And there isn't a formula you can do to make that happen. It's you giving your life to God, trusting him, obeying him, and following him, and allow him to work in you. Good, bad, ugly, everything. Give it all to him. Sorry, little tangent. I just didn't want you guys to go on to think, hey, if I do this list this year, I got New Year's rest. It's like saying I'm going to go on a diet this year. Well, I'm going to do this diet, and this year, by next year, I'm going to be 40 pounds less. You know, it always sounds good for a day or two, three maybe if you're really committed, you know. And then somewhere along the line you get distracted because that's what Satan does. See, Satan doesn't have to make you an awful person. He needs to just get you off track, okay? He may take a very good thing to get you off track. Sorry, I'm off track. All right, maybe your commitment needs to be to tell others about Jesus. You know, some of us, wow, did you know that all of us are called to spread the gospel? Did you know that? It's not just Leonard, Pastor Leonard's night job. Every one of us are called to go tell, to go preach, and we're all called to make disciples. So once you've found somebody or somebody's interested in talking to you, you need to walk with them. Good, bad, and ugly, right? Walk with them, help them, pick them up when they fall, love on them, but let them know about Jesus and that cross, what he did for us. Maybe your resolution needs to be that you'll love people better. You'll learn to love people the way that God did at the beginning of this Philippians 2, okay? Maybe it's to be positive, encouraging, instead of being that grumpy and harsh person that you are at work or at church or with your family, right? So many people are just negative and grumpy and harsh. And maybe God needs to melt your heart and you'll start to love people. Care about people. Maybe it's time for you to get involved in ministry. Maybe you've been coming to this church for a long time now and you're still just a spectator in the stands, and it's time to get out into the game. I think all of us are called and wired different, and we all have different things that we can do. Not everybody needs to be up here preaching. Not everybody needs to be up there with children. Not everybody needs to be ushering, but there's something for every single person in a body of Christ. No matter what your gifts, talents, and abilities are, your passions are, you fit in church, okay? There's some place where your skills, gifts, and wiring, God has made you to benefit the body of believers. What are you doing with it, okay? Maybe it's time for you to start tithing. Maybe you're here, but you just haven't, you know, God, I'm committed, just not my pocketbook's mine. Let's keep that out of this, right? Or for some of us, you've been tithing for years. Maybe it's about giving above and beyond. That's an offering. I'm going to, you know, here's my tithe, God, it's yours. But you know what? I want to show that I am generous with my money, and so I'm going to give to this or this. And we see that when we had these families that got hit by the hurricane up north. We saw your generosity. This church is filled with people who care about others and love others. But some of you maybe aren't there yet, and maybe God is trying to break you on that. Here's the deal, guys. I'm done. I'm trying to be done. I'm done. I would like us to, before New Year's Eve tomorrow night, maybe even tonight, if the worship team wants to come on, which will be interesting as I'm running sound. I want us to evaluate our spiritual life. Just take a minute. Do a checkup. I don't know if you do that or not, but I do it 3 or 4 times a year where I do a checkup on my life. Am I heading the direction I should be doing? Am I doing the things God wants me to do? How's my family doing? How is my income doing? How are my savings? How is this? And I look at it and I do these checkups, but let's take the time right now and do a spiritual checkup. How are you doing? Don't say, yeah, I'm at 80%. Woohoo, let's go, because that's better than the 10%, right? That's not what I want you to evaluate. What is it that you need to change and do differently? We look at New Year's Eve as a time of change and resolutions or commitments. What are some things you need to change in your life? And we're gonna sing this last song. And wow, we had to do the offering in that too. I tell you, let's do the offering, and then when we, because it gives you more time to think about it. When we come to this song at the end, after the offering plate is passed, maybe you need to come down here and make this before God. All right, this isn't going to be a normal altar call type place. What I want us to possibly do, because it can be done right there in your seats. But here's what I've learned. Even like on little trips, if I want to pay someone, I still kind of require and ask somebody else to pay, because that first step needs to show their commitment, right? And so maybe this morning when we start this song after the offering has taken place, so ushers, if you'd come forward, when that offering comes and the plate is past you and you're listening to this song, do a checkup on yourself. And if there's something you need to give to God, maybe you're holding, maybe you've got this 80%, but that 20%, you're just holding on and saying, God, this is mine, leave it alone. My time, my hobbies, my whatever it is. I would like us to look at the baby Jesus as the King. And we're on our way to approach him. And we're on our knees, because when you get eye to eye with the King, we ought to be trembling and fearful. He's a loving God who loves you. But the truth is, he is the King of Kings. He is the creator of the universe. He spoke existence into being by his words. The power he has for your life is incredible. But we need to approach him and say, God, I'm only giving you this much. And I want to give more. I'm not talking money. I'm talking of my life. Your life is way more valuable than any money you can give. See, the money's already his. If you know God, the money's already his. This is not about money. This is about your life and following the King. So let's pray and ask God to bless this offering. And then if you want to come up during that time, you'll be by yourself to pray. If you need to talk to Pastor I, we're always here. If you need to talk, you can come talk to us. But let's make this time about your New Year resolution in your faith, what you need to do next. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. God, it is a strange way to save the world. Your word says that you love the world so much you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in you, would recognize, acknowledge who you are, could have everlasting life. God, and your word says that you didn't send Jesus, you didn't send your Son into the world to condemn us for our failures and stupidity and our ignorance and all the failing sins we do, Lord, but you sent your Son into the world to save us through your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, for those of us who've given our lives to following you, Lord, I just pray that we would take this moment and examine our lives. Are we following you? Have we fallen into such a routine, God, that we've not even made you a focus of our life? So, God, I just pray that as we begin this new year as a church family, that each one of us would examine our lives. Lord, and we would be more loving. We would spend more time with you. We would allow your presence in us, that your Holy Spirit would come into us, and we would listen to what you're saying, and we would just be overflowing with the fullness of who you are in our lives. And God, and I pray that we wouldn't do it for some accolade or some award for something around us, Lord, but we would do it because we love you and we know that you are the King of Kings. And then, God, we'd be so excited, we would go out and tell others about how amazing you are. That you would send your Son into a manger, into an animal stall or cave or barn, whatever it was, Lord. In humbleness, you came. not just to rule, but to save our lives. So, Lord, we ask you to bless us tithes and offerings. Lord, I pray that we would be cheerful givers, God, that we would truly desire to love you. Thank you in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stay? Oh, wait, let's say seated while we do the offering. Go ahead, start the offering. And then when as it passes by, if you want to come up and make that commitment, that vow, that resolution before God, the altar is open.